Breakfast with Pat and Heels for Imar Insurance. Get an online quote and instant cover anywhere, anytime. Visit imar.com.au.
And a very good morning. Welcome to the program. Mark Braybrook filling in for Pat and Heels, who are on holidays. They will be back on January 10, just in time for the Magic Millions. So the boys enjoying a few weeks off. I'll be here for the next 5 days. The work experience boy back at training today at Brisbane Lions. So he'll be in tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Fingers crossed to have a chat with us and fill in for Pat and Heels. As I mentioned, he'll be back on January 10. Basically, for those who have been listeners since we started in September last year, what we'll do this week, it's pretty much a best of Pat and Heels. We'll have some of our regulars back. Steph Thornton will be back this morning. We'll also chat with George Gallantry and find out how that match between the Barmy Army and the Richies went yesterday at Valleys. We've got Supercoach. We've got a whole range of things as well to get through. But we'll also look back on the year that was and some of the best chats that Pat and Heels had throughout the year. And today, one of those might be Nat Cook, if we get time, about the announcement of Brisbane hosting the Olympics in 2032. The weather, not looking great for the week. We'll go through the forecast for the next few days, particularly for Brisbane hosting the test, the first test on Wednesday. Possible shower today, maybe up to 2 mil. Tomorrow, possible shower, less than a mil, so that's okay. But then we get to Wednesday, first day of the test. Partly cloudy, high chance of showers, most likely in the afternoon and evening. So fingers crossed that's late afternoon into the evening and the chance of a thunderstorm. They are suggesting up to 15 mil on Wednesday. Thursday, partly cloudy, high chance of showers, the chance of a thunderstorm. 10 mil, maybe, on Thursday. Friday, another 10 mil. Partly cloudy, high chance of showers, most likely later in the day, the chance of a thunderstorm. Let's hope it's one of those stretches of weather where the rain does come late in the day and into the night, and we wake up in the morning and the sun is clear and we get a full day's cricket. But weather may intervene over the first 3 days of at least of this first test. What we do know for sure, of course, is that the Australian side has been named. The 11 has been named. And Travis Head, he was the one that got the nod ahead of Usman Khawaja for that fifth batting position. Here's what the captain, Pat Cummins, had to say at the launch, I suppose, of the Ashes series yesterday about the selection of Travis
Head. Travis, you know, he's been a big player for our team over the last few years. He didn't play here last year. He missed out on the final game of the summer and he kind of got asked by the selectors to go away, work on his game. He's gone over to England. He's churned out runs for South Australia. So he's ready to go.
Yeah, look, a very tough decision. The Travis Head or Usman Khawaja, both are in terrific form. Usman, of course, this is his home ground, would know the Gabba very well. But whoever was to get the nod, whether it be Travis Head or Usman Khawaja, there is always pressure in a test match, always pressure in an Ashes test. But even more so on this occasion when you know that the player you've been selected ahead of is playing just as well as you. So hopefully that spurs Travis onto some runs because as it stands, I think our batting lineup is not as confident as it was in the past. Steve Smith hasn't been in outstanding form, hasn't played any red ball cricket for nearly 12 months. Manus Labuschagne has scored some runs for Queensland in the start of the Sheffield Shield competition. Marcus Harris has had a dry spell. David Warner hasn't played red ball cricket since January. Cameron Green has been okay to start the year for WA. So our top six, particularly if we have to bat first on a juicy Gabba wicket, may come under pressure against a bowling lineup that would be used to conditions that are conducive to swing and seam bowling. But Pat Cummins also mentioned how difficult the decision was to go with Travis.
Yeah, line ball. It's great to have someone like Uzi with his experience in the squad. But we thought, yeah, Heady is really ready to go, deserves his spot.
Yep, both of them deserve their spot. But Travis Head got the nod on this occasion. So that's the batting lineup sorted. Of course, we know that Alex Carey is going to open the wicketkeeper, I should say, and bat at number 7. But the questions remain, or were remaining, as to which bowlers were going to take the field. We knew that Nathan Lyon, who's got 399 test wickets, was going to be one of them. Pat Cummins was going to be another, being the captain. Josh Hazlewood was going to be another. But who was going to be the fourth? Was it going to be Mitchell Starc, or was it going to be Jai Richardson? Well, in the end, Mitchell Starc won out. And here's what Pat Cummins had to say about the selection of Mitchell Starc.
Probably the last 10 years is enough to go on. Just incredible player, bowler. I think strike rate under 50 in Test cricket, that doesn't come around too often. So I think when you look at his record, what he brings to the team, he's right up there with, you know, one of the best bowlers we've had for Australian cricket. So we back him fully. He's been bowling beautifully in the nets, swinging the ball, bowling fast. Can't wait to see him outie.
Well, let's hope that that form in the nets transfers into some wickets and great bowling in the test match, because three of the four bowlers, like a lot of the batters, have not had any red ball cricket. They've been playing in the T20 World Cup, of course. Nathan Lyon is the only bowler that has had any red ball cricket, and so they go in a little bit underdone. But the same can be said for the Englishman as well. Last week, Ben Stokes had his first centre wicket game, even though they only got a day in at the Englishman, since July, because of his time out of the game, his injury with the finger, and plus his mental health issues. So the first test is really going to be very interesting to see how both teams aim up with so much disruption, players returning from the T20 World Cup, the quarantining, the disruption of the weather in southeast Queensland, on the Gold Coast, and also in Brisbane, hampering those preparations. But over the weekend, they should have got some good cricket in. Saturday and Sunday, the weather was fine until the storm came through on Saturday afternoon. But hopefully, both teams will be able to get out there on Wednesday under sunshine, maybe a bit of humidity to help the Aussies get a bit of an edge. And it should be a terrific first day's cricket, which you will hear here on SEN. Now, Justin Langer, the coach of the side, also spoke over the weekend, and he spoke about some interesting things. He touched on Tim Payne and his absence from the Australian side. He also spoke about Pat Cummins. He spoke about what it's like having to pick a test team, but he also mentioned Alex Carey, and Alex Carey coming in to replace Tim Payne, who of course has stood down, and whether or not we see Tim Payne remains to be seen. Here's a little of what Justin Langer had to say about Alex Carey. Eventually. Computers are always very slow when you want
to. I haven't seen him for since January, so it's just nice to catch up with the boys again. We haven't been together, a lot of us, for all this time, so I've had some great conversations. Saw Alex Carey for the first time yesterday, saw Uzi today for the first time since January, so it's just nice to catch up with the boys again. And he's excited. He's a fantastic young bloke. He's done a great apprenticeship. And he's very excited about play. I thought his press conference, the words he spoke the other day were just exemplary of, and a great example of what he's like as a person. So really looking forward to having him in the test team.
Well, there he is eventually. Justin Langer speaking about Alex Carey. But he's replacing Tim Payne. And last week, when he got out of quarantine, Justin Langer made the trip down to Tasmania to chat with Tim Payne. And here's what he said about that visit.
Well, he's one of my really close friends and someone I admire enormously. He's probably, certainly in this generation of players that I didn't play with, he's one of the most, he's one of the best people I've met in the game of cricket. And so he's, as I said, he's been our captain for a long time. He and I have been through a journey like we have with all this group. He's one of the best people I've met in cricket, so it was nice to go down and see him. You'd have to ask him how he's going. I think when I saw him, he's obviously shattered with what's happened because he's been such an exemplary figure in Australian cricket for the last 4 years particularly. His life's changed, obviously. But you have to ask him how he's going. All I know is important to go and see him. We talk about looking after our boys, having each other's backs, and it was a no-brainer for me to go and see him.
Justin Langer speaking on visiting Tim Payne. He made the point that he doesn't think it's the end of Tim Payne's career, but it's a long way back. It's a hard way back for Tim Payne, and I'd be surprised if we saw Tim Payne at that elite level or that test level again. Certainly, it'd be amazing if we saw him this summer. I doubt that would happen. But at the age of 37, despite his fitness, despite what Justin Langer said there, it would be an extraordinary return if at that age and at that stage of his career, Tim Payne was able to return to the Test Arena. You may have a thought. 13 13 55 is the Brighton Homes open line. Brighton Homes include aircon, flooring, steel frames and solar as standard. Discover today why it's better with Brighton. Or you can send a text. The Love Family Lawyers text line is open. Thanks to Love Family Lawyers. Love is all you need. 0467 736 736. Some interesting thoughts too from Justin Langer on the weekend with regards to picking a test team, picking an 11, coming up with the 11 best cricketers in the country.
Oh, it's always hard. I mean, the reality is that the hardest part of the job, and that the guys have been around for a while and girls have been around for a while, know that the hardest part of the job is selecting an Australian test 11. Because what I've learned for the first 2 years, I took it quite personally, because you can't win. Because if I had have picked you, I should have picked you. And if I should have picked you, I should have picked you. And that's because there's 20 million Australians have got an opinion on the test team. But a lot of work goes into, there's lots of data now. There's lots of discussion. There's a lot of really great cricket wisdom around. And they're always tough decisions. But hopefully we do all our due diligence. We don't always get it right. And we might get it wrong every time. But we pick what we think's best for this.
There is Justin Langer speaking about picking that test team. And of course, Pat Cummins is going to captain that side, a bowler. Who would have thought we'd seen a bowler, an opening bowler, even though he most probably bowl first change, he's opening the bowling in most teams around the world. But a bowler captaining Australia in a test match at the Gabba. Plenty of pressure on Cummins to take wickets, but now he has that role of captaincy. It's not only what happens on the field, it's off the field that makes it difficult for a bowler to be captain. And here's what Justin Langer had to say about Pat Cummins, the captain.
I think the role of Steve Smith will become very important on the field. This day and age, as I said, there's so much data. You're so well prepared. England will be incredibly well prepared for us. We'll be incredibly well prepared for England. So, and Pat will get all the gold nuggets. And he's got lots of support around him. Steve Smith's the formal vice-captain. David Warner's got as good a cricket brain as in the game. Alex Carey's been a captain before. Now he's behind the stumps. He's got his three best mates there, the bowlers, that all have a view on it. So he'll be fine strategically, I think. It'd just be maintaining the balance of everything else goes with his bowling load and then captaining and all the other commitments that come with that. So we'll keep an eye on that. He has got massive upside, Pat Cummins. There's your headline. Pat has got massive upside as a leader and a captain of Australian cricket. He's a outstanding person, as we know. He's an elite player. I mean, he's a world-class player. He's a great person. So he's got massive upside.
He does, and we wish him the best of luck captaining his country for the first time on Wednesday at the Gabba. 13 13 55 is that Brighton Homes open line, or you can send a text on the Love Family Lawyers text line, 0467 736 736. Still on cricket, a couple of stunning results over the weekend. Of course, the Big Bash is underway. The Heat are in Canberra tonight to take on the Thunder at Manuka Oval. But how bad were the Stars beaten by the Sixers by 152 runs, all out for 61, one less than what New Zealand got in their first innings against India. But can you believe it? For the third time in Test history, we've had a bowler take 10 wickets in an innings. Ajaz Patel, he took 14 of the 17 Indian wickets to fall in the Test match. His match figures were 14 for 225, which is the best ever figures in a Test match by a bowler against India. The previous was Ian Botham's 13 for 106 in 1980, and he just missed out, India declared, on becoming just the 13th bowler to take 15 or more test wickets in a single test. He took 10 wickets in the first Indian innings, and SEN New Zealand, our sister station over in New Zealand, has been broadcasting, and you can hear it by just downloading the app and listen to the commentary of the New Zealand-India Test Series. They've been commentating and broadcasting this series between New Zealand and India. And here is how Simon Doole called the 10-wicket masterstroke from Ajaz Patel.
9 for Patel. You have company, Sir Richard.
Outstanding. Here is a towering blow up in the air towards mid-wicket. Can someone get under and take the catch?
It is indeed taken. Rachin Ravindra. And quite amazingly, HS Patel becomes just the third player in Test match cricket history to take all 10 wickets in an innings.
There it is, the commentary from SENZ. About the only highlight of the match, really, for New Zealand. They have really struggled, bowled out, as I said, for 62 in that Test match in the first innings. And India, in a very strong position. But it's hard to believe, isn't it, with all the cricket that we've had played over so many years, that we see a bowler take 10 for. He was Mumbai-born, playing for New Zealand. They didn't win the Test, or they won't win the Test. 540, they finish at stumps on day three. They still need another 1,000 to win. New Zealand 5 for 140 after being bowled out for 62 in the first innings. So highly unlikely, and as rain comes in India, which doesn't happen at this time of year, that they will hang on and win that Test match after the first Test was drawn. But to see a bowler take 10 for, and I'm not sure whether you saw the dismissals, it was quite extraordinary, because Ravi Ashwin sent a referral upstairs to the third umpire when he was bowled. I've never seen anything like it. He was bowled and straight away asked for a referral. Now, I'm not sure what he thought had happened. The players appeal, you know, shouted joy as Patel bowled him, and Ravi Ashwin immediately signalled for a review. Being bowled. It was just a most remarkable incident in a stunning day's Test cricket, where a bowler for just the third time in history has taken a 10 for. So well done to Patel from India, born in India, now playing for New Zealand. Unfortunately for him, the batting side from New Zealand let them down all out for 62. India made 325, New Zealand 62, then 7 for 276 declared, and at stumps on day three, New Zealand 5 for 140. Now, the big bash, I'm not sure whether you saw any of that last night. Josh Phillippe outstanding, Moses Enriquez outstanding for the Sydney Sixers, 4 for 213, and then the Melbourne Stars all out 61. A stunning collapse, and some are saying the worst loss in Big Bash history. So not the start of the season that the Melbourne Stars were after. Let's hope the Brisbane Heat can have a bit better start tonight when they take on the Thunder in Canberra. But a 152-run victory for the Sydney Sixers over the Melbourne Stars to start the Big Bash League. Speaking of Big Bash and this drama, or this what's happening in Perth and WA with the Test match, with the fifth Test, which won't go ahead in Perth, still yet to be decided where that Test match is going to be played. It seems that Tasmania is growing in strength to possibly host that fifth Test. Look, I still agree with Heels and Shane Warne. A day-nighter at the MCG to finish the summer would be the way to go. It'll be around, or just around the tennis as well. So you'd have an extraordinary atmosphere. The Australian Open going on at Melbourne Park, and a day-night Test match at the MCG. What a way to finish the summer, and what a way for those in Victoria to celebrate, you know, eventually being out of lockdown, and we'd all be able to get to the MCG by that stage to watch a day-nighter, last Test. I think that has a little bit more appeal than a Test match in Tasmania. No disrespect to the Tasmanians. I just think it just is a better option. Day-nighter, MCG, final Test v Hobart. What are your thoughts? 13 13 55, the Brighton Homes open line, or the Love Family Lawyers text line, 0467 736 736. But speaking of Perth, it seems now that the Melbourne Renegades, they have to head to Perth for a match on Boxing Day. But they've been told they have to isolate and quarantine in their hotel rooms on Christmas Day. David Saker is the coach of the Melbourne Renegades. He's not too happy about it, and I can understand that. I can understand his frustration of not wanting to be, and his team, being in quarantine on Christmas Day. It's hard enough when you're away from your family, but let alone locked in a hotel room and you can't even associate with anyone on Christmas Day. Christmas is about being with people you love, being with friends, being with family. To be in isolation for a game of cricket on Boxing Day sort of takes the cake for me, and shows how difficult it is for sporting teams to get in and out of Perth. And it could be that the Scorchers might have to be told to get on their bike and head east But if I'm the Renegades, if I'm a Renegades player, I'd be pretty pretty upset myself as well. You may have a thought. 13 13 55 is that telephone number. The Bullets have started the season with a loss in Tasmania. The Jack Jumpers watched a bit of that game. Nathan Sobey, very hard done by. It went to overtime. Unfortunately, the Jack Jumpers were too good for the Bullets. Good way for them to start their NBL season, their NBL life. It was a great atmosphere. It was a good game of basketball too, but the Bullets just couldn't quite get there. And the Roar, their first home game, finished in a goalless draw against Adelaide at Moreton Daly Stadium on Saturday afternoon. So mixed results there for the Queensland teams. The Roar picking up a point. The Bullets starting with a loss in Tasmania. Cairns also beaten in their first round, but we'll update that in the sport very shortly. This is Breakfast with Pat and Heels. Mark Braybrook on this Monday morning. The Brighton Homes open line, 13 13 55. The Love Family Lawyers text line, 0467 736 736. We will take a break, come back, look at the weather and update a little bit more sport on this Monday morning. It is 7 to 7.